Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Do you hear the sounds of war, boys? It's finally here. We can finally settle this once and for all. And Tyler, I've been waiting for this night for so long. You better be prepared for yourself.
Did he just go Scar on us? Be prepared.
Funny enough, actually, it's a live movie. It's coming out this Friday, but yeah, tomorrow, by the time we're recording. Yeah.
And of course, Telly's Tyler is here, too.
I just want to point out that once again, Will starts off the show by inciting chaos. And yet, he's Team Order. Just let that sink in. And then ask yourself, why? Why is Will Team Order? Send him your tweets and judge him harshly. Judge him extremely harshly.
Well, I will judge both of you later during our final Settle It.
Oh, no. You don't do any judging. Me and Will, we can judge each other, but you, sir.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, I'm going to pick a neutral side.
No. You'll understand, and you're going to like my logic, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. We got a lot to talk about this week, including some recent things that come out of San Diego Comic-Con, which if you are there, we hope you're having fun. And remember, there is a Nintendo booth there complete with demos of certain games, including Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Luigi's Mansion 3, and others, so go check that out. But first, it's time to get started off with what have you been playing? I'm going to go first because I posted a review recently of Dr. Mario World. I am officially I decided to wait until I got done with the first two worlds to give a true judgment of the game, and I'm really glad I did. Dr. Mario World is pure fun. It is just this very simple, very elegant, you know, connecting colors gameplay. And the evolutionary aspects of it are really, really fun, where the game just keeps changing. Every world adds new levels of difficulty, so you're not... So unlike, say, something like Heroes, where you're technically just fighting the same units over and over again, just in different combinations, you never know what you're going to get in the next world, and it's really, really exciting. It's, like I said, simple, it's very elegant, and despite people complaining... You honestly don't need to do microtransactions. Yeah, they can help. They're not required. I have not done a single microtransaction, and I have only ran out of hearts like once or twice, maybe. Well, I'm also really gifted with puzzles, but that's beside the point.
I was about to ask you, is this like the Candy Crush as we spoke from before? Is this similar to that?
Well, I mean, Dr. Mario came out before Candy Crush.
After Candy Crush.
No, before.
In a chronological order. Okay, I get you. What you mean? Okay.
Yeah, I said Dr. Mario, not Dr. Mario World. Listen to the host. So, let me put this in order. Get it? In order? Yeah, I know. Anyway, so I really enjoyed this game. I just got into World 3, and I was doing really good in versus mode until some glitches cost me my winning streak. So obviously, I don't count that against myself. But it's really, really fun, and again, it's free to play. You can play it for free, eternally, entirely, and have a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. I gave it a 4 out of 5. There are some issues with the controls at times, and they do harp on microtransactions in sections. But again, you don't have to succumb. This isn't a Super Mario Run kind of thing. It's a really good game, and I really hope you go and enjoy it. So go check it out, and go read my review, which is on the Outer Haven right now.
I've been playing that a lot as well, and I've enjoyed it too. I didn't get to read your review yet. I've had fun with the game, but I disagree on the microtransactions thing. I think
goes
back to what I said last week when we were talking with Captain Toad Taylor about it. I feel like the game doesn't make a ton of money on its own.
We'll talk about that later.
In order to make up for that, they are very aggressive with the characters being behind walls. So I picked Dr. Peach in the beginning just because I thought that'd be funny to pick Dr. Peach because everybody was picking Bowser. So I was like, I'm going to be Dr.
Bowser right here.
So I assumed that I could switch between Dr. Peach and Dr. Mario. But no, you can't. Once you pick either, like, you start out as Dr. Mario for like tutorial levels and then you lose him. Like, you can't play. Like, I can't play as Dr. Mario. I have to get him through the gacha system, which is really low. It's like it's a 2% chance to pull Dr. Mario or any other doctor character, there are a bunch. And the other way you can do it, like you can buy diamonds and buy it that way, or you can earn in-game coins. But I don't know which level you're on, Todd. I'm on level like 78, and I've only got enough coins to roll the gacha system 4 times, and I have pretty much 3 stars on every level, not all of them, but most of them. Same you here. Get 150 per 3-star, and it costs 4,000 to be able to summon a character.
Yeah, I noted that in my review. That is a high difference between diamonds and coins. So
yeah,
I did note that as a problem. But for me, I'm so happy with how Bowser plays within reason. I don't really have the need. This isn't like Fire Emblem Heroes. I want to catch them all, you know, have that kind of thing. So. You know, I gave it a 4 for that reason and some control reasons and certain
the controls
issues.
I agree with as well. They're mostly good, but every now and again a pill just gets stuck where you don't want it.
Exactly.
And it's just why.
And there are times where, like, when I see the pill falling, like a fraction of a pill falling, and I'm trying to grab it and slide it over, and it won't let me grab it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think there are some glitches that they can iron out. But overall, I've had a lot of fun with the game.
Yeah.
The game. I do see why people are annoyed by the microtransactions. And then again, as you said, I did actually get lucky. I got Toadette as a character, and she's great. Like she Dr. Peach is garbage. I swear she always would go for the worst possible column. Her special clears out a column, and she would always pick the one with one guy left in it. She was the worst. Dr. Peach is trash. But Dr. Toadette is amazing. Because her special lets her just get rid of 2 viruses. And I found that way better down the stretch if I'm like trying to get a high score. To be able to just remove the final 2 without having to use 3 pills to stack up the colors, or even sometimes 4 if you get unlucky with what comes up next. I really like her as a closer kind of character.
Yeah.
But I wish I could play as Dr. Mario. I mean, the fact that Mario gets blocked off, I just was stunned by and confused. Like, I kept trying to figure out for like 10 minutes how I could, like, where do I pick him? But then I realized, wait, he's grayed off. I can't. He's not available.
So, again, it's not a perfect game, but it's definitely, I think this, even if it doesn't make like the most money like Fire Emblem or even Animal Crossing did, and we'll be talking about this later, it's going to be one of the longer lasting Mario or mobile titles from Nintendo, because there's a lot to do. And there's like there's the challenge levels, there's replayability because you want to get 3 stars on everything, there's the gacha system. And they said they're going to be adding more worlds. So there's only 5 in the world right now, but that's actually a lot in the context of this game. So
It also will punish people who aren't very good at it.
Yes.
Because it does, like you said, it takes a half hour to get your hearts back, which doesn't, I mean, it's not that horribly long. But if you lose on a level 5 times in a row, and each level takes you about a minute, you only have 5 maximum hearts. And then you're stuck for 25 minutes before you can jump back in, or you have to pay.
True.
Which, you know, it hasn't been a problem, because every time you clear a level, you get a heart, which is great.
Yeah, but there are so many ways this game could have gone wrong. All right, like not being able to buy anything with the coins outside of like little dumb stuff, not getting the hearts at the end of every level, the worlds being smaller like Super Mario Run was. You know, they learned and they really made this a long-lasting game. So, but we'll talk about this a little bit later. And in my efforts to make it to tomorrow, which it's Thursday at the time of this recording, I restarted Super Mario Odyssey, and I forgot, gentlemen, I truly forgot how amazing this game was. I did a long Twitter thread of like the first 5 worlds before I just finally fell out of it. But this game is just magic. It's, you know, great level design, moons everywhere, you know, you could just get lost in the world trying to find like the smallest nooks and crannies, you know, getting the coins, the outfits, testing your skills on the hardest of challenges. I will not beat the game by tomorrow, but then again, I have seen that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 isn't the longest game, which is fine. I just got to get me to Fire Emblem, and, which is still not here yet, but this game is just so much fun. I when I got to the first like true level, the Sand Kingdom, I just went on a tear. I was like, how many moons can I find by myself, no guides, no Toad help? And the answer was 28. Just wandering around the world, trying to remember everything I could, and looking for all the moons. I got 28 moons on my own. And you're like, that was a lot. And I didn't feel any like, oh my gosh, I gotta find the next moon. Where is it? I just felt like I could always find it. And there was always clues about where I could find them. And it was just so much fun. And then by the time I got to New Donk City and I did the festival level again with Jump Up Superstar being sung by the amazing Pauline, this game is just so much fun. It deserved... I almost am kind of sad that it didn't get the Game of the Year, but that's what happens when you put Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey in the same year. One of them has to fall.
Right.
So,
right.
But it got plenty of awards, and some people actually did put it as Game of the Year, so that was fine, but I love this game. I don't know when, but I will finish it, whether it be while I'm, you know, trying to pace out Ultimate Alliance or waiting for Fire Emblem. I will finish this game. It's just too much fun. This is going to be hard to top. It really is.
Yeah,
and then I played one level
of
Splatoon
sequel
before we got on, but I wanted to at least do one Splatoon level before, you know, because they're doing it 3 days, which is awesome.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes.
Anyway.
Surprisingly, I was like, yeah, I know you were like warned to go into it, but yeah, 18 to the 21st of 8 o'clock in the morning, I believe that's when it ends. Eastern Standard Time.
So
yeah.
You have no excuses not to play. You have today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Both Saturday and a little bit of the Sunday morning.
There you go.
I believe.
So. All right. So yeah, that's I've been playing a lot this week, and of course Heroes here and there, but you know, I don't have that many orbs, only like 450. So.
Yeah. And you're packed up. I think. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, I think it's probably they are getting ready for the Three Houses banner, so most likely it's going to be going come out next.
I hope so, because I have so many orbs since I'm not going for bikini women. Unlike some people that I know.
Oh, you leave Will alone. I'm going to lay into him later, so let's be nice to him for the first
time. Right.
Oh,
Tyler, what have you been playing?
I have been playing a ton of Super Mario Maker, so I've been really wanting to play Smash again. I'm not sure if I want to play is pick up Pichu or pick up Pokemon Trainer, but...
Pokemon Trainer.
I haven't been able to decide, so in the meantime, I've just been obsessing over Super Mario Maker 2. We talked about it a lot last week, so I really don't have a whole ton of comments to add about it outside of the fact that I think at least I feel as though my levels have really improved the more I've played the game. Like, I just sound so obvious, but I'm surprised by just how quick I as a creator have gone from feeling like I'm just kind of throwing things at a board and seeing what sticks to creating kind of cohesive levels that are actually a lot of fun to play. And I wonder how many people just replay their own levels like over and over and over because I like when I am sitting down to play, I'm like, oh, let's see what some people have created. And I think, well, I want to see, you know, has anybody played my level? So I'll go check out my notifications and then I'll like say, okay, like this person died here. I want to see where they died or how they died. So I'll click the X button and I'll see, okay, this is where people died. I wonder, you know, try to figure out how that happened. And then I'll run back to playtest it. And then before I know it, I'm like, I spent another 45 minutes on this level that I've already built, and I just am running through it for the 19,000th time. But it's so much fun. I love creating. I love creating more than I love playing the other people's levels. That's for sure. So I'm going to make your ideas on Twitter if you want to check that out. You can play some of my levels and give some feedback.
It's again, like the Super Mario Maker pretty much is like the Mario Paint 4 of the new generation, honestly. I feel like the fact that you want to go and tweak a level, like really play it over and over again, it's kind of like how like an artist does as well. I mean, you can attest to this, Todd, as well, that like when you just like make the works levels and just like really like really fine tune it and get that like really good level like you see out in the Mario Maker world is like, I think that's kind of like how it is. That's why it's just so popular in the first place. Again, it's a toolbox. It's Mario paints, but just like go nuts. That's one thing that's the magic of Mario Maker for the Switch.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're totally right. It really does feel like you at times you do feel like an artist, like trying to perfect every little element of the stage. And then going back and kind of looking at some of the other levels that I've made, I'm like, oh man, that one was so flawed. You know, I've really grown as a creator. It's obviously not as satisfying as painting a beautiful picture, I'm sure, but it's still, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Did you see the Fire Whip level?
Yes, I did. That level's hilarious.
Yeah,
all
okay.
That level became a meme for like 5 days. Like, I haven't seen it today.
It's still
so
being
I'm
talked
say it's
about,
a dead
I promise
meme
you.
Now.
For those of you who don't know, there was this person who used, you know, if you remember the original Super Mario game, there were the fire whips that go around a circle, and you know you can't touch it because it's, you know, fire. Mm-mm. So some genius decided, I'm gonna make a level with so many fire whips that you must have the most precise movements to get through this level. And then he recorded himself doing the level to show just how crazy it was. And the internet is split between, this is the greatest level ever, to why are you making this nightmare? Seriously, there are people who are raging about this level, including actual like comic professionals who apparently have this game. I saw at least one comic professional going like, why is this in existence? That's just wrong. And I'm like, no, this is perfection. This is the challenge that you want. You just don't realize it.
Well, it was a remake of the first ever level, like World 1-1 from the original game, with just 1,000 fire sticks that are falling everywhere.
Yeah, fire sticks.
You could never beat it in one try. Like, you would have to play it 100 times to figure out like the first half of the level, but it's very cool. It's just, it's not the level that I would make, but it's part of the fun of the game is just the wackiness that people are coming up with and sharing on the internet and kind of, you know, taking over. I want to see how many times that level's been played, because I'm sure it's a lot.
And if you thought Dark Souls stuff, please play Super Mario Maker.
There you
you're
go.
Gonna rage.
Yeah. All right, well, how about you?
For me, it's kind of been an on the down low, actually. For me, I have been continuing on with finishing up with Peach Ball, which I have put out my review earlier in the week. And right now, I just finished up with the third girl, Murasaki. I'm just waiting to finish up the female dog. Yes, yes, I know. And the main poster girl, Asuka, Peach Ball. So I only got two more girls I have to finish up right now. And so that's what I'm currently working up right now. And during the past few days, I've just been more or less playing on Judgment, which, again, I love Yakuza Studios, Ryuga Gotoku Studios. Just, again, how much you can do. Past nights, I just been coming back home, playing some Mahjong, and then trying to get some money as best I can. Sometimes I win, sometimes I lose, and then, like, yeah, it's just... I just get so absorbed in the mini games in Yakuza games. Is just like it's like my home away from home when I come back from a hard day's work. So like, you know that feeling, like, I don't know, like the typical worker just goes to a bar and just like, yeah, just relaxes his worries and pains away. Kind of similar to that. So that's how I compare it to it.
I just can't picture you as a worker. Hi-o!
Got him.
and of course, I need to actually go jump back into Overwatch, because they actually just getting ready for is currently happening next summer games, which is like new costumes with Thorbjorn. Just basically new costumes is another Overwatch event. So yeah, I need to get back to Overwatch. And as usual, Fire Emblem Heroes, just getting ready for the next banner, getting ready for everything else that's coming up in the week. Of course, Three Houses, which, yeah, I'm just like, it's just kind of so interesting to find out who is voicing who. Like,
exciting. Like, I don't even know anything about voice actors, and yet seeing them all like post, I'm this character. Like, oh my god, when is the game coming?
We're almost there.
I mean, personally, for me, I love like knowing who voices who. Is just like wow, just the range of these performers is like, it's amazing. And plus, like, just seeing like the voice actor for Claude, like he actually. He actually get the meme. He actually hanged upside down, and yeah, he did the claws on the cover art. But like, he knows. He knows. So yeah, just like seeing all these actors getting like really excited for this game is like it brings joy to my heart. So I can't wait for next week. I can't wait.
It's gonna be a long week, but thankfully I at least have Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, so it's gonna be good. All right, so last week we had a ton of news that we had to talk about, and just when you think, oh, it's going to be a quieter week, oh no. No, Nintendo decides, hey, let's just drop a whole bunch of news on you. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And finally, at last, we know when Luigi's Mansion 3 is coming. And it's coming on Halloween! Which, actually, Tyler, weren't you the one who said that might be a thing?
Well, I'm sure that a bunch of people said at some point that might be a thing, but I'm excited that it is a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they officially made the announcement on the Nintendo's Twitter, Luigi's Mansion 3, October 31st, this year. So, this fulfills our prediction as an hour, as a podcast, that it is in October, because we thought it would be either October or December, thus officially completing the string of major first-party titles every month, with the exception of August? But we also have Astral Chain, so that I call that an exclusive. Not first-party, but still an exclusive. Right, anyway, but yeah, like that's huge, and it's 2 weeks before Pokemon, which is plenty of time for it to breathe. Unlike, you know, if you remember Mario Odyssey and Fire Emblem Warriors, so I am very much looking forward to this, and we'll definitely be seeing more trailers as time goes on. But I just this is gonna be a fun game.
It's gonna be a fun game. I'm just really happy that, again, like everyone does, we just finally got a release date, and the fact that it is going with the theme, it's Halloween. I mean, it's gonna be ghosts, and yeah, Luigi celebrating on Halloween. I wonder if that's actually his favorite holiday. I wonder.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but that just a thought.
Yeah, I was curious as to why, like, what was the reason why they announced it now instead of, like, 4 weeks ago? And did they think, well, maybe we will, like, I guess you have to base the schedule around Pokemon, so having it 2 weeks out makes a little bit more sense. They were probably torn between that December spot and the, you know, the October spot that it actually got. Well, it's really a November game, because it's coming out the 31st of October.
Still, but I remember Bill Trinan said that they wanted to give the team as much time as possible to, you know, polish it and refine it, and maybe they didn't want to announce it for October, then something happened, and they go, we need more time, and they obviously wouldn't want to put it up against Pokemon, because that's a dominating title, even with the controversies around it, so they would have had to push it back to December. So instead they just said, we're going to say this year, and now they feel confident enough to say, give us the release date, and oh, it's perfect, it's a ghost game on Halloween. Yeah. So, voila. So, it's just another thing to look forward to this year in the year that is Nintendo. And also, as a note, October 31st is a Thursday.
Oh.
So
that's rare.
Exactly. So they intentionally put it out on Halloween to, you know, tie it in, or otherwise they could have just put it on the 1st or on the 29th. But no, they go, it has to be a Halloween game. So,
hey, we'll finally be able to talk about a game that launched the day that it launches.
Hi-yo! And I'll make sure that I play it before then. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. It's like, it's the simple things in life that make us happy here on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast.
Right.
All right, so, but yeah, definitely look forward to that. Let us know if you are excited for Luigi's Mansion 3, because, well, let's be honest here. If this game somehow doesn't do well, we're probably not going to get another one. All right. No, I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I know that, you know, Luigi's Mansion, when it came out on GameCube, was very much an unexpected thing. It was cool. I mean, Luigi finally got in the spotlight, but it was just like, okay, this is cool. And then it became like a cult classic, and then Dark Moon happened. It wasn't the best game. And now they're like, okay, we need to go back to basics. What made it fun? Let's make it new. It's on the Switch now. Oh, wait, I take that back. They had the Luigi's Mansion game on the Wii U. Remember that? The mini
awesome.
Game. Yeah,
yes, that was fun. Nintendo Land.
Yeah, Nintendo Land. Yeah.
If you played that and you didn't go wee woo, like Patrick when he was trying to find the maniac in the SpongeBob episode, you were not playing it right.
You had to bring SpongeBob into this.
Wee woo, wee woo, wee woo.
Anyway, you wonder why I chose order instead of chaos.
There you go. Anyway, but definitely go get this game when it comes out. I know I will, and you know the other guys will. So it's gonna be fun. All right, so on the heels of the major announcement of the Nintendo Switch 2DS, I mean Nintendo Switch Lite, we now have confirmation of another Switch model that is coming out, but it's not the Switch Pro like you might have thought. It's just a regular Switch, but with a better battery life. Now, if you recall, depending on what game you're playing on the Nintendo Switch, you can have between 2.5 to 5 hours of gameplay time. New battery is supposed to give you between, I think they said, what was it, like 5.5 to 9, something like that? Yeah, and then, was the price point the same? I can't remember now.
Did they say the price? Okay.
It is still the same.
Well, which is good, because, I mean, it's just improving the battery, which is a more natural function. So, for all of you Switch owners who don't have a Switch, I would honestly...
All of you Switch owners who don't have a Switch...
Well, imagine good one, that. Todd. Could you imagine if all the Switch owners who did have a Switch went out and bought another Switch just to get the better battery life?
I wouldn't be surprised.
But think about that, though. That would mean that we would have that the 30 million Switch owners, just rounding it down, would go to 60 million bought, but still only be 30 million owners.
Right. Yeah.
Nintendo wouldn't care because they're getting all the sales, but that would be so hilarious.
I'm interested in that because my fan has been kind of worrying strangely, and my Switch is actually kind of breaking down a little bit because I am rough with it, and sometimes you get angry and things happen.
Oh.
And I might need a new Switch.
So you are saying you are rough with your Switch. I am sensing some parental hostilities here.
Well, sometimes you lose in Smash, and what are you going to do? You're not going to smash your controller? What if you're playing in handheld mode? Good question. Then you have no choice but to smash your Switch. So,
Somebody's temper.
Chaos.
So, yes, my Switch has seen better days, and the battery is a big deal. It's fascinating that it has a better battery life than the handheld new Switch.
The Lite and the OG, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's an interesting point. I wonder, what made that possible, but I feel like the handheld Switch is really irrelevant now outside of the fact that it's $100 less given the better battery life of...
But again, it's about, whether you play in handheld mode or you play in docked mode. For a guy like me, if I had known, I would have honestly gotten the Switch Lite. I might not have liked the smaller screen. I like having the screen size like I do now, but I only play in handheld mode.
Right, but here's the thing. You'd get 3 extra hours of gameplay, or 2.5 extra hours of gameplay with the extra $100.
You're not wrong. See, I'm in a weird place with this because the way my job works is either I have, today I was so busy because I was trying to get a lot of stuff done between all my jobs so that I could play Ultimate Alliance 2 a lot tomorrow. But then other days I'll have a whole bunch of time, but I don't want to play the game all day in case I want, because I got other things to do because, life happens. And so that 2.5-3 hours thing, it feels right to me. And I also have my my charge cord next to my computer, and so I can literally sit where I am right now and play the Switch while it's fully charged and be playing to infinity and beyond. So I don't really need it. So I know I won't be getting a new Switch, barring mind breaking, even though I am perfectly gentle and capable and, unlike some people in this podcast.
Listen.
Hello, ladies.
We've all been there before.
And yeah, I'm kind of in similar states with you, Todd, because I'm just kind of so used to my OG Switch right now. The fact is, even with the short battery life, I really did not mind it. And as you said, I have a portable battery pack with me. I have my USB cable with me all the time when I can bring on my Switch, so I can charge it whenever I want to go. So battery life is, it's nice to have. It isn't necessarily a major factor to warrant a purchase. Obviously, this would be a very good thing to have for newcomers. Yeah. Now they have a choice either between the handheld or the full-fledged extra battery life. So this basically meant for newcomers. For me, I feel you're basically increasing specs, add-ons to it. Okay, so far so good. But eventually, of course, this only, as we said before, is going to ramp up the Switch Pro rumors, which, honestly, I'm just going to wait for that, honestly. Once they, because some people speculate regarding to, perhaps with the new title of Breath of the Wild 2 coming out, perhaps they could use, the extra processing power and maybe go announce alongside that as
That's
a hypothesis.
Smart.
So if they announce a co-release with Breath of the Wild 2, then, of course, I'll definitely upgrade my Switch to play, Breath of the Wild 2 in the best quality possible. So, I'm just going to wait for
the Pro version is going to happen at some point. It's just a matter of when, if it turns out, it comes out a year after the Switch extra battery life, I'm just going to call it Switch battery life, comes out, then, I would probably regret, not just hanging on to the Switch I have now for an extra year and then upgrading. But if it's a long ways out, I could see the benefit for people.
Unless mine breaks, I will be fine. And, but hey, I know that some people have been waiting, on a slightly better Switch or one with a better battery life. And now here's your chance. So there you go. And, Nintendo, for all their, hey, we're not commenting on this, they've been commenting a lot on all these new Switches. So who knows when the Pro will get announced. All right, so next up we have Super Mario Maker 2. The NPD results for June came out, and not only was the Switch the best-selling console in the United States, but Super Mario Maker 2 was the best-selling game in the country, and it did better sales-wise than both the original Mario Maker on Wii U and the 3DS port. So that for
Wow.
me, that says already over a million seller, but
Oh,
especially when
yeah.
you can remember the NPD is just the United States. So add that with the rest of the world, which I'm pretty sure they've had it. I know the UK had a big surge in sales because of Mario Maker 2. So yeah, this is definitely a million seller.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
not surprising. It has Mario's name in it, and it's a great game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you knew this would be one of their big things. And hey, remember what my first pick in the Nintendo draft was? New Mario or new Zelda game comes out this year. And
Yep.
that really has proven true thus far. We'll see how big the uptick in sales is, but I felt like by releasing a new flagship Mario or flagship Zelda game, that would lead to big sales.
Yeah, it's pretty much it is that again. Super Mario Maker is basically the evergreen title and essentially more or less the an essential for Nintendo Switch library. Also, alongside like Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, it's definitely like it fills in that creative niche. Unless you're looking at Minecraft, then yeah, it pretty much fills in that creative niche that a lot of people want. So I think that also pretty much adds on to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's there for me for sure. I think I tweeted out that it's definitely in my top five Switch games. And I would say it's an essential must own.
You're not wrong, and this will definitely be one of the evergreen titles where like everyone has to get it, just like everyone has to get, sorry, everyone has to get Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, Splatoon 2, which obviously we're going to talk about soon, and among other, and then Smash Brothers, I suppose. I mean, I guess Smash
I
Brothers is an
guess,
evergreen. I mean, come
yeah.
on, only sold 12 million in a month, you know? Come on. So, but yeah, it's doing well, and I've been seeing a bunch of levels and comments on it on the internet, thanks to like Tyler retweeting everything and various memes like the Fire Stick level. Oh gosh. So yeah, it's good times. And then tomorrow, moving on, is the release of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and there's been a lot of news about that, including the first wave of reviews. Basically all positive. They say it's classic Marvel Ultimate Alliance. If you love the first two games on the PS2 and other systems, you're gonna like this one. The story is basically Endgame, kind of, sort of, or Infinity War Endgame, I should say. But you know, with actual all Marvel characters, you know, like the X-Men and Fantastic Four, and you know, it's not like Marvel wouldn't put the X-Men into a video game. I mean, surely they can't do that. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Why are you looking at me like that? Wait, what do you mean no one knows about the X-Men? Oh my gosh, I remember. Do you remember that storyline? Like nobody cares about the X-Men anymore. That was what the that was the reasoning they have for not putting them in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. They literally said that no one cares about the X-Men anymore, and the fans went nuts.
Yeah, the X-Men is one of just the most all I mean all time but most popular character or stories
And
or
even if you were
group,
to
whatever you want
even
to
if
call
you
it.
were to discount the entirety of the X-Men for whatever reason, there's this guy named Wolverine, you know, played by Hugh Jackman in the movies, you
By far the
know.
worst X-Man too.
What?
Let's just put out
What?
Wolverine sucks.
Oh wow,
What?
you're one of those people.
Yeah,
Okay.
Wolverine sucks. He's a
Okay.
horrible character. He gets destroyed in every fight, but oh, he can just heal, so I hate Wolverine, man. Don't get me
Well,
started
okay,
on him.
A,
You already got me started on Wolverine.
he
He
doesn't
is the
actually get
worst.
destroyed in every fight, but I see what you're going there. I see
Did
what,
you
okay,
see the
what are your
movie?
feelings on Cyclops?
Cyclops is pretty cool.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
I get ridiculed because I like
No,
Cyclops.
Cyclops is a cool guy.
All right, but so anyway, but the review scores across the board are like, you know, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, a little bit higher, and then IGN gave it a 7.8. Too much Marvel. So I guess we can count that as reliable, I suppose. And of course, since today was San Diego Comic-Con, Marvel Games held a panel talking about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and they revealed some of the DLC that is going to be coming through the expansion pass, which is available now. Characters like Loki,
Yes.
Cyclops, Colossus, they are going to be free downloadable characters. They will not be playable at launch, but they will be coming. And let's see. Okay, they will be part of free DLC. They'll be available on August 30th, so a little bit of a wait, but still. And then the expansion pass, if you recall, is going to have a Marvel Knights banner, an X-Men banner, and a Fantastic Four banner. they revealed that the Marvel Knights part of the package, which is the first one coming up, will include Blade, Moon Knight, Punisher, and Morbius.
Ooh, so, nice.
And it should be noted that Punisher and Morbius, as well as Loki, have never been playable, and I'm pretty sure Colossus too, have never been playable in a Ultimate Alliance game before. So, fresh experience. And the roster's already packed, so, you know, there's that.
Loki is my favorite character.
Yeah, so he's a lot of people's favorites, so especially because of Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, he's so good.
So I guess he should be thankful he wasn't a mutant. Moving on. So, but yeah, the game comes out tomorrow. I'm definitely going to get it. You'll definitely hear my review. I'll have my review of it up before Fire Emblem next week. So I'm very excited about this game. And yeah, because I loved this game going. I remember playing the first one on my PS2 at my parents' house and just having a blast. The game opened up with this epic cutscene of a bunch of Doombots versus the Avengers and Thor, who I honestly had very limited exposure because this was before the MCU. I had limited exposure with Thor, but I fell in love with him because he gets hit by a robot and he goes, "Soulless machine, how dare you strike the son of Odin!" and smashes him with a hammer. I'm like, okay, that's pretty boss. And then it just grew from there. I mean, I know it's basically a dungeon crawler hack and slash kind of thing, but it worked. For me, it just worked. And it sucked for me that the sequel was broken. It was a broken game. I couldn't finish it. My PS2 version, which was supposed to be the best version, would not let me finish the game.
Alliance 2?
Alliance 2.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a glitch in one of the early levels where you couldn't complete it. And it sucked. And it happened only in a certain amount of games. So, of course, I got one of those. And I never got to finish the storyline. So I'm glad that this one is, apparently not that. They say the graphics are good. The roster is awesome. You know, the storyline goes about 13 hours, which is actually pretty long when you think about it.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to enjoy this, and this will fulfill the gap in my heart until Fire Emblem comes out.
Which is only a week now.
Yeah. Well, yep. I mean, by the time this releases, yeah. But which is perfect segue because we got the final preview of one of the houses, the Black it's Golden Deer. I keep getting the house names mixed up. I know Blue Lions for whatever reason, but then I always get Black Eagles and Golden Deer. See, I did it again. I don't know why I get those two mixed up. Maybe it's because I'm probably not going to pick them. I don't know, but it's just I always get them mixed up. But we got the Golden Deer preview, headlined by Claude, who
Claude
is now
is so
an instant
funny,
meme.
Dude. He is great, because Edelgard is like, she's serious, she's Edelgard, and then Dimitri is like, "We are the honorable and just path," and Claude is like, "Yeah, you're kind of a cool guy. Like, I hope that you choose us. You're pretty chill."
And then like he's like flirting with everybody. Everyone on the internet after the trailer came out was like, "Why is Claude flirting so much? You, me, we could do great things."
But it was Claude is America's sweetheart at this point.
You mean the Fire Emblem sweetheart, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But the real question is, like, where does he come from? Because he certainly doesn't come from Faragus.
Just looking at that trailer for the Golden Deer, like, it pretty much is exactly as that. It's a principality of many different democracies and nations, and just that entire house itself is... Again, very, very locally based. Is like one of the female students is. I'm just looking at it right now. Leone was actually trying to become a mercenary, just like you.
Yes, she was Raphael. In your father's mercenary company.
Oh, okay. Raphael, like just a big bulky guy, got killed. His parents got killed, but he's still trained up and he loves to eat. Like again, he's the entire house itself is like it really appeals to the common folk. Like it's just like it's no royalty. It's not about like some big chivalrous knight. It's just like again, people just trying to survive. So that's kind of the main appeal about the Golden Deer. It's just common folk.
See, that's the thing. I am leaning towards the Golden Deer because I like that feel. Although I also like the Blue Lions kind of vibe, but I'm concerned that they're going to make the primary conflict between Edelgard and Dimitri, and then Claude's just going to be like the neutral one. So I'm like, that's my apprehension with the Golden Deer right now.
It's possible, but being that they've stated that every house has their own storyline, I don't know, just something. And remember, Dimitri doesn't say burn Edelgard. He says burn them all.
Yeah.
So it's possible that it's a little more detailed, but we don't know.
No, we don't. We don't. I mean, I'm hoping that it turns out to be that they're fully fleshed out and not just like, oh, they're the medium path. Like, that was one of my biggest problems with Revelations outside of the fact that it was just not very good, was that it just was such a clean path compared to the other two, which were like really dark and sad for most of it. Like, that one was just like, oh, a happy ending, everybody wins, the end. And like, I don't want the Golden Deer to be like that. Because outside of that, I would pick them for sure. But
No happy endings. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
yeah, I mean, happy
It's
ending is
war.
fine, but yeah, I just I you know I like the more gritty story, and that's what the Blue Lions absolutely have.
All right, one thing I wanted to know, and I took me a while, but I got them all up here, was I like the interesting balances between the teams with who's on what team and all that. Like, if you look there, there's actually a slight difference between how many males and females are on each team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's subtle, but it's there. Like, let's see, I'm counting now. So on Black Eagles there are let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 girls and 4 guys. On Golden Deer there are wait, hold on.
Four
Hold on.
for the Golden Deer, I believe.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, it's four and four on Golden Deer, and then 5 and 3 on Blue Lions.
Who, more men on Blue Lions?
More men on the Blue Lions. There's
Okay.
Dimitri, Dedeau, Sylvain, Ashe, and Felix. So that's interesting. That's a good balance between, and of course, obviously you're allowed to conscript other characters. They've studied that, so you can grow your ranks that way. But I like the balance. You know, that's something that could have easily gotten lost in this, but you know, they're making sure you have plenty of variety to choose from, and that just makes it all the more exciting to me.
All the previews have been glowing from what I've read, and I'm
Yeah.
just so excited.
Pretty much. We have to wait another week.
Don't worry, we just got one short week. We just gotta get through one more week, boys. Just
Yeah.
got one week.
That's why I'm excited for Ultimate Alliance, because it'll help me focus on the next week, and then once I'm done with that game and everything else, I'll be able to focus on Fire Emblem for the first se till August 31st, because that's when Astral Chain comes out. So I got over a month to play Fire Emblem. Because I'm seriously though, I want this game to, and I know I keep joking about my Nintendo Draft pick where I said it has to be a masterpiece. I want it to be as close to a masterpiece as possible, or at least be as good as Path of Radiance, because if it's as good as Path of Radiance, I know I'll be playing this game forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I regret not having my GameCube set up or my Wii set up still so that I can play Path of Radiance again, because I would in a heartbeat just so I could see Ike again and, you know, enjoy the storyline. But if Three Houses is as epic as I hope it is, and we're hearing that it is, it's gonna be great. And IGN, I hope you're listening. If you dare give, stop laughing, Will. Laugh afterwards. If you dare
This
give
is not
Fire
laughing
Emblem 3,
matter.
stop it, you know what's coming. If you dare give Fire Emblem Three Houses a 7.8 for being too much Fire Emblem, or too much waifus, or too much school, or too much teaching, or everything, I will find you. All right, I will find you
Don't you
and
mean
deliver
like
you
I
the
will
justice
find
of Fire
you?
Emblem.
I believe you're looking for that Liam uses word like I'm gonna find you and I will kill you. Something
Yeah,
like
I know what I
that.
was going for, Will. I was she, fine. You want me to do that? Fine. I don't know who is reviewing this game. And if you're looking for ransom, I don't have any money. But if you do give this game a good review, that'll be the end of it. I will not come for you. But if you do give it a 7.8, I will come for you. I will find you. I will kill you.
What if it's actually just a 7.8 game, though?
I'd still kill them, because point one either way doesn't change the outcome. All right. I remember if you remember the show X-Play. Okay, well, for the longest time, up until, like, I think, like, their final two seasons, they only did, like, a 1 to 5 star pure system. So it was either 1 star, 2 star, 3 star, 4 star, 5 star games. And this, what they got, did, like, Q&As occasionally, and one of the questions was, why don't you do, like, a 0.1 system? You know, like a 7.1, etc. And so they go, well, because it doesn't tell you anything, because then they listed two games which got like a 3.8 and a 3.1 out of 10, and Morgan goes, they both suck. It's just there's a 0.7 difference of a suck. So, like, what do you
Yeah,
want?
Right.
Yeah, so if it's a 7.9, which they actually gave both Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, I do believe, and, you know, or 7.7, they're still saying it's a decent...
That's such an underscore for those games.
Oh, it is. Well, they also gave one of my personal favorite RPGs of all time, Star Ocean Till the End of Time, they gave that a 7.9, and it's widely considered one of the best RPGs ever, including by IGN, and yet it's a 7.9, apparently. Okay.
Yeah, some people don't really have any refined taste, to say the least. Yes.
Yeah. I would go into a rant about how there's a certain person, IGN, who keeps getting terrible scores to the Arrowverse shows and yet gives, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. perfect scores, and I'm not going to mention him, and I'm not going to mention the 6.7 he gave the Batwoman pilot, but, you know, the fans know the score. The fans know the score. And yes, that was a double entendre. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so we teased this a little bit earlier before, but Dr. Mario World has gotten its first estimates in terms of downloads and sales, and it's very much a tale of two different stats. On the download side, within the first 72 hours, it got downloaded 2 million times, which I find impressive because, it's a free title. Dr. Mario is popular, but it's not like Mario, you know? And, you know, like Tyler said, it's a puzzle game. So, you know, some people aren't into that kind of stuff, which is fine. And so that having 2 million in the first day or first couple of days, that's pretty good. And it's been, you know, well over a week since then. So I would imagine it's probably gotten to 3 million by now. In contrast, though, its profits for those first 72 hours is only $100,000, which is the lowest of all the games, including Dragalia Lost, which is technically a third party title. Of the Nintendo Mobile Initiative. It's the lowest grossing in the first 72 hours of any of their games. So, take that as you will.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that it's not a cash cow. I honestly just wish that they would accept that and kind of be a little less aggressive with the microtransactions. I do think they would have been better served charging, like, 99 cents for this game.
It's definitely like kind of that interesting balance that Nintendo was trying to do. I mean, well, Fire Emblem here was obviously the gacha system, like, yeah, that's kind of like a moneymaker right then and there of a gacha system. With Dr. Mario, it's like the only thing you really are kind of pressed for is if you want to get the new doctors or to get those extra continuous out of, like, with many puzzle games out there in the mobile market. So, the fact that, like, yeah, some people have been saying, like, it is aggressive with their microtransactions, but again, you, Todd, adjusted that it is not really that aggressive at all. It's like, it is eligible. You aren't forced into it. So, like, the fact that Nintendo, I'm not sure, like, if Nintendo is really trying to make this game as, like, aggressive as they want it to be, but, again, there are people that can has that skill set to pass these levels without, again, sink a dime into it. So, I don't know. It feels like Nintendo is kind of bouncing out, but just doesn't really know if it's going to... If they really want this app to be profitable or just, like, be available to the public, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a complicated thing because... Look, on one hand, you know, you always want to make money, and I think that even though it's not as quote-unquote aggressive as some other, you know, titles out there, I think it's still going to make money. But it's clear, you know, because of how they set it up, better or for worse, they're not going to make as much as Animal Crossing or Fire Emblem or even Super Mario Run, which was, of course, a pay-to-play kind of thing. So, you know, it's complicated because, I think it's going to do well. But I also know that it's not going to come close to what some of the other ones because it's so freeing, if you will, in how you don't have to do it. You don't have to play that hard to, you know, you don't have to do microtransactions. It's just they don't. So, you know, well, I don't think it's a failure because I really think that they'll, you know, make back whatever money and, you know, the more downloads they get, they will get more people to do, especially once, you know, they keep cranking out content and everything. And maybe they'll lower, if they really feel like they're in a bind, maybe they'll lower the cost of their microtransactions and that might cause a spike or whatever, or they'll pull a Fire Emblem Heroes and get like a really cool character that everyone's going to want to want. And
they,
you know,
they do have Dynamite Rosalina, which looks awesome.
Okay. There you go. Okay. And I saw a couple of the Koopalings in a versus mode. So, you know, you never know, but I still think it's going to do well, but, you know, it is kind of interesting to see that it's only making, you know, $100,000. But again, when you're, you know, not harping on it and there's no real super benefit to buying anything outside of, you know, completing the levels better and possibility of 3 stars, you know, really want to spend money on that. It's a complicated thing.
Right. And as you said from before, like that whole currency discrepancy regarding to like that diamond and coins, like just that vast difference that you wanted like so much time, like grinding for coins to get these gachapos or just some cash to go to get these diamonds. Yeah, that's kind of like the I feel that's one main criticism against them. That yeah, that big currency discrepancy is like yeah, that's I think that's what a lot of people are kind of mad about.
Yeah, it is. And it's fair.
Yeah, it's fair. All right, last up, you know, some third-party news, still important. Resident Evil 5 and 6 were announced for the Switch during E3 2019. And now we know that they are going to be coming on October 29th.
Wow.
So for you horror fans out there, you have Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 6, and Luigi's Mansion in 3 days. The horror is strong in this one.
Well, okay. I mean, I wouldn't
even
say that Resident Evil 6 is actually horror per se, because a lot of people basically canned it as like way too actiony, and plus with Resident Evil 5 as well. So
well,
I don't know, like 5 is
well,
like black sheep in the family.
Well, yeah, does it have zombies?
Sure.
Then it's a horror movie, or it's a horror game.
I mean, like it's kind of like the Plagas thing. I mean, evolution of the Plagas. So, eh.
The only time. Anything zombie related cannot be defined as horror if it's like a weird like twist on the genre or a romantic comedy like Warm Bodies was. All right, you know, that's it. Any other time, zombies equals horror. I don't care how actiony it is. So stop it.
Well, again, everyone pretty much knows that Resident Evil 4 is the quintessential horror game of the Resident Evil series.
This is true.
That's until Resident Evil 2 Remake, which again, that was horror.
Or Resident Evil 7. Resident Evil 7 was praised as being a return to form with like the jump scares and everything.
Yes, yeah. Oh yeah. Yes, that too. Yes, that was like a return to it. Agreed.
Yeah. So Capcom, yeah. Capcom, I'm happy that you're bringing more Resident Evil, and now you got this out of your systems. Where's my Phoenix Wright?
You're never gonna let them go on that.
Not until they made a promise to us last year that there was gonna be a new Phoenix Wright game, and it was gonna be in November. That didn't happen. And then we got the port of the Ace Attorney trilogy, which I loved, but we need something else. And I don't just mean a remastering of the last three games. We need the next title. We deserve it. Okay, so make it happen, or else. I will come for you.
I'm guessing they're probably gonna hopefully announce something at the Tokyo Game Show this coming September. So that's my guess. So hopefully.
I'm not making any bets because there was supposed. I think it was last year they said that they were gonna do like a big announcement, and then all it was that the Ace Attorney trilogy is coming to Switch and other console systems. So, yeah, I'm not holding my breath. I will wait, and then once it happens, then and only then will I be happy. Also, I think that Phoenix Wright could be a character in Smash Brothers. So, yeah,
perhaps,
he was in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and that's much more intense than Smash Brothers is, let's just be honest. So, and me and Cho, our dear friend Crom Cho, thought of the perfect final Smash. You put it's one of those single out ones where it's like you only get one character, but you put him in the defendant's box, him or her in the defendant's box, and it's Phoenix Wright and Edgeworth, and they're just doing objections and hold it on each other, and it's just filling up the screen, and the more times they do it, it's just they're doing more damage to the character, then the judge just drops his gavel on him. Boom!
Yeah, that pretty much would work, yeah. Like, it pretty much is reminiscent to Marvel vs. Capcom 3's special of Phoenix Wright. Yeah, like, objection!
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so it's gonna be good. Gonna be good. So, but we need that announcement at Capcom. So, enough with the Resident Evil already. give us what we want. Give me what I want. All right. And now, it is time. After 2 years of enjoyment, after 2 years of debates, after 2 years of watching Tyler go from undefeated streak to how many times can he lose in a row?
So many.
Yeah, and him still being in denial about the love and money one.
Well, that was the turning point when they started sabotaging because I called them out and I forced them to change the rules, but now they're just they pick my side to lose every time because of that.
Anyway, it is time for the final Splatfest. Splatocalypse, ladies and gentlemen. The final Splatfest of Splatoon 2. And thus, by extension, this is the final Settle It in Splat. Okay, technically it's not the last Settle It in Splat. We're probably going to have another one if Splatoon 3 comes around, but we don't know when that is. So for now.
Oh, did we mention that in the news segment that they said they haven't started production on that? Because that's a fun fact. They haven't started production on that.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
yeah. Again, they haven't just a quick a briefing. Basically, they just basically just talked about okay, we are thinking about this, but not our current focus right now. So basically they just want a break, basically.
Well, if you recall, between Splatoon and Splatoon 2, there's only 2 years difference. So I'm not surprised that they want to, take a break and, focus on other things. And, the Switch has got a while to go. So I think Splatoon 3, if/when it comes, will be, at the end of the Switch's life cycle, or maybe a launch game of the new system. You never know. So now, gentlemen, if you don't mind, given the gravitas of this event, I have decided to start this out slightly differently. So bear with me for a while, if you will. Okay? Let me tell you why you're here. It is the wool of Splatfest that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. In front of you, you have two choices. If you take the white pill, you are an agent of order. You believe that rational thinking and logic is the cornerstones of our society, and that to deviate from them will invite the end of the world as you know it. If you take the black pill, you are an agent of chaos. You believe that humanity can only grow through struggle. Watching the world burn is optional. Which one will you choose? Will you choose to see a brighter world, or will you choose to see how deep the rabbit hole goes? Whoa.
Only 90 kids get that reference.
The Matrix was 2000s.
Okay. Late 90s then.
Yeah, that was
fine. You would be born in the 90s. Will's right. Good point, Will. Good point.
Whatever. My intro was legendary, so shut up.
That's the last good point Will's going to make in the next.
Hi-oh!
Oh, jeez. All right. Come on.
All right. Well, because of that, then let's let Will go first. So, Agent of Order, Warrior Will, please define why Order and Marina are right in this Splatocalypse.
So, the reason why I choose Order, and while my infidel enemy over there is saying that I...
Infidel? This is getting intense.
...that I'm an agent of chaos, pish posh, good sir. If anything else, ever since the birth of this game of Splatoon 2, Marina has pretty much what is the agent of Order. She is more or less the main glue that keeps off the hook together. I mean, have you not seen Pearl after these two past years talking about all her selfish reasons, she wants struggle, basically wants money, I think that pretty much describes her character a lot good enough. And Maria, she is pretty much the Mr. Spock of the crew. She basically speaks about logic and speaking as a former agent of Bacterians, an elite soldier, might I add you. She knows what she wants, and basically she understands why she does not want chaos reigning over the world of Ingotless. So the reason why I feel that Order is basically the one to do so is because, understandably, yes, everything is always in flux. Everything is, especially in our world, in real life as well, that we just want, it's always changing. There's no getting around that. But the fact that we just can't really control anything in our lives, that's what's basically going to kill us all in the long run. It's going to, stress us out. It's going to, to the point that, I don't know, makes us do irrational things, and maybe just makes our quality of life just that way to the point of no return. So what Order basically brings to it is, one, it's order. To control, the thing of chaos that just really just disrupts your life. like how Marina basically says it in her intro conversation, it's basically that she wants that sense of security. Like, while there are some things that we cannot control, at least we have a match to, like, be prepared to be ready for that unknown. And I don't know about you, but the other agents of Order pretty much agree with this as well. Even with Captain Tartar and Sea Cucumber. Like, as much as I don't really like Sea Cucumber saying, giving me that test fail all the time, like, I understand that he's basically, like, training us, Agent 8, to, like, basically handle what comes our way. And, of course, I was really surprised as well, but, of course, Marie is also joining the Team Order, and, of course, we know what happened at the last final Splatfest. Marie won. So, if anything else, she also understands why Order is just more or less more preferable in a land of chaos. Like, do you really want to, like, stress out every single day of the unknown? Like, of just that insecurity that you don't know what's gonna come next. Like, I just basically want, like, my sense of peace, a good, steady life, and just enjoy myself. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be scared of the future. I just want that I'm in control of my power. I make my own luck, and therefore everything else is just in order. And plus, and let's put the fanboyism in right here as well. We already know that, Tyler, you argue that chaos is justice. Please, if anything else, that plot is the main order. And anybody who is listening to this podcast right now, who is in the taco, you get what I mean. And even Cromwell, I know Cromwell is probably listening to this right now, but I'm sorry. That Pearl is just an agent of chaos because she thinks that chaos is justice. Marina, she's all about the plot. She knows about logic. She's all about the order. So as far as concerned, Marina, she gets it. Just gets it.
Honestly, you couldn't have fed it into my hands any more perfectly. Your argument was, I think Marina is cooler than Pearl. That's why I'm Team Order.
I admit to my former order that yes, that Marina, I'm sorry, she is arguably and objectively better than Pearl.
Okay, well, that's
you've
not
had your
the
chance,
question.
Will. Let Tyler talk.
So that's the one. That's not the question. Two, no, you're that's just factually incorrect. But. And we have to put out, you know, full disclosure, Will is great. I love Will. But Will, you are a coward, sir. So I don't want to wake up every day with the unknown looming above me. I'm so scared of it. I don't know what I would do. You need that uncertainty. You need that uncertainty to grow. There are countless examples throughout history where people have been pushed to the brink. There is no order. That's what brings out the best in all of us. A wise man and woman once said, chaos is power. Power controlled by the heart. That wise man was Knuckles the Echidna. He said that to the master.
I was thinking it was a Sonic reference. Oh, gosh.
Ed Tikal was the original person who said that. Chaos is power. When you think about it, from chaos comes strength. Because if you aren't capable of growing with the chaos, then you're going to be swallowed by it. But chaos brings out the best in you. It forces people to innovate. It forces people to grow and to become their best selves. If you live this comfortable life that Will and his beloved Marina are projecting, you would never grow. You would be stationary. You would be
stagnant.
Stagnant. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Stagnant.
That's why I'm the host.
Yep. That's what I was fishing for. You would be stagnant. And there's no fun in that. What's the point in living a life where nothing changes, where every day is the same? I know I personally find that I get sucked into just downer moods and just kind of overall sadness when I notice that my life hasn't changed in a long time. When things just stay the same, you get into a routine and you get complacent and things just kind of stall. You need chaos to grow. Another wise man once said, chaos is a ladder. That wise man was Littlefinger, even though he became not so wise in the final seasons. I'm talking seasons 1 through 6, Littlefinger. So chaos is the ladder. Through chaos, you are able to kind of climb up and grow your station in the world. If there was no chaos, the people at the top would always stay at the top. That's the order, the structure of society right now. You look at it. I'm not going to bring politics into this, but you look at the haves They want order. They want things to stay exactly as they are. The have-nots, though, the common person, needs that chaos to be able to rise up and to be able to make something of themselves. Order is control, and people still have power in those systems, in systems of order. There is a power structure that benefits the few and not the many. Chaos you get by on your own merits, your own traits are what gets you through. In a world of order, things are handed to you depending on your station. Either you're born to sit at the bottom and that's where you are, or you're born at the top and you get to kind of rest your feet on the backs of the working man. Chaos and order are both necessary, obviously. I mean, you can't have a world that's entirely chaotic. But in a world that is entirely chaotic, it's far better than a world that's chaotic, that's totally ordered. At least in that world, there's some sort of excitement, some sort of strength, that some sort of autonomy. That's the word I'm looking for, autonomy. Chaos gives you autonomy because you are in control. Order, there's a structure that's kind of keeping you in place, and it's trash. Just like Will's argument, just like Marina. Team Chaos all the way. Imagine a Splatoon 3 where Team Order wins, assuming that the plot changes. And it's just, Order, this is still Splatoon 2. It's just the same thing. Everything's still in structure. Splatoon 3 with Chaos? Could you imagine how much more fun that game would be? I would go so far as to say the soul of Splatoon is Chaos. Idea of running around shooting in graffiti, just trying to cover territory. It's chaos. It's havoc.
I will counter argue with that. It actually is not chaos at all. It is, in fact, controlled order. Like, if you're not seeing every single result screen at every single stat match, it is pretty much, while it's all these different colors, it all makes a perfect picture of order. It's balanced. Everything as it should be.
Okay, stop, Will.
I don't know
Will.
What games you're talking about, because when I look at a map after Splatoon, it very rarely is very neat and tidy. It's a lot of chaos.
All right, before I give my answer, which is actually the correct answer,
I want to
elaborate on a point that Tyler made, which is the Littlefinger quote, because he said it only partially correctly, and I feel as a Game of Thrones fan up until season 8, I'm sorry, how did it get an Emmy nomination for its last episode? That doesn't make sense.
I have no idea.
What?
Okay, no, it was a terrible ending, Will, come on.
No, I mean, how the heck it got the Emmy, I mean.
Exactly. Anyway, so basically Littlefinger is talking with Varys, the other smartest man in the room, and he's talking about what the realm is without, you know, peace and all that, and he goes, it's a gaping pit waiting to swallow us all. And Littlefinger, as I will state in my really good Littlefinger impression, chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail and never get to try again. The fall breaks them. And some are given a chance to climb. They refuse. They cling to the realm or the gods or love. Illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is. You're welcome.
Yep.
So,
that's the full quote. The key part of chaos is a ladder.
Yeah. Chaos is a ladder. There is only the climb. All right. So, I find myself in an interesting position with this Splatfest. Because I have been known to create so much chaos in the lives of the people who know me, but I would also state that I am a being of order in the things I do and the things I handle and all of that. So what is the answer? What is the answer between order and chaos? The answer, ladies and gentlemen, and Tyler and Will, is balance. There is a third option.
There's literally not.
I'm going to mute you both if I can't do my thing, all right? You've been warned. And that is me doing order and chaos because I'm the host. Anyway, and I reflect upon the wisdom of a lord, the leader of a nation. I reflect on the wisdom of Tibarn, Lord of the Hawks. Because in Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, near the end of the game, the final act of the game, basically, the goddess Ashera, goddess of order, gets awakened. And in her emotional state, or lack thereof, depending on how you interpret things, she decides to literally send a beam of power to the world and basically turn to stone just about everyone aside from the people who won't serve her. From the people who will serve her. And then a few other strong souls, though it's not explicitly stated why they weren't turned to stone. Anyway, and you're thinking throughout this entire game, up until about that point, that Yune, Goddess of Chaos, is actually the bad guy. Especially since in Path of Radiance, we're told that the medallion, Leyran's medallion, is withholding the power of the Chaos God so that the world doesn't get destroyed. Turns out, that's not exactly what happens. Because in the world that we live in, order and chaos are both needed. Order and chaos give us both strength, sanity, and the will to go forward. And Radiant Dawn beautifully expresses this, because with the chaos in our veins, as Tyler noted, we have the strength to push forward. We have the strength to rise above our station, to not be stagnant, and to try and achieve our goals. We want to fight the established order that says we are only supposed to be these things. I live that way through my writings, because you'd think that a small town kid from St. Joseph, Illinois wouldn't be able to work for someone like DC or Marvel. I don't care that that's what they say. I'm working hard to try and break that stigma so that I can achieve my dreams. But in contrast, despite what Tyler says and what Will was trying to say, aside from all the Marina love that he was spewing.
Can we point out that Will's argument was terrible? Can we just cut that in?
Come on, Will. Yeah. I mean, he basically said Marina every other word. It was bad. Anyway,
yeah, because he's a chaos guy. He's not in it. He's not really
I will mute you both. Stop it. Okay. But as you know, Tyler, you know, failed to understand, there is a reason why order is necessary. Order, which Will kind of tapped on, is a safety net. Not something we need to smother ourselves with, because that makes us stagnant and complacent and capitulant. There we go. But it's something that we need to know will be there in order to have happier lives. For example, Will says that he wants to wake up and know that there is no fear of the next day. That's always going to be there. And trust me, my life has proven that every single day, basically. But I know that if I wake up in the next morning, I can get up and know that I am free. I can wake up and know that I can do certain things within my power, because I know that someone's not going to come barging through my door more than likely and kill me for whatever reason. Sure, it could happen, but the established order of our world makes it to where most people don't have that fear. And there are countries in the world who wish they had that kind of order so that they didn't have to live in that fear. But as our own country, United States, has shown us, there is such thing as too much order. Or having a person imposing too much order, or as various dictators have shown, having their order above all else. And that's where the line gets drawn. There needs to be a balance between the order, the structure, the formality of it all, and the chaos that tells us we need to do more, we need to do better, we can be more, and we don't have to be what everyone tells us to be. Balance is literally what keeps our world alive. And when the balance shifts, that's when we have wars. That's when we have racism. That's when we have people saying that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is a 7.8 because of too much Marvel. All right? That's where the line gets drawn. And so there is no right answer or wrong answer per se. We could all be agents of chaos and agents of order. If you were to look at my room right now, which you probably can't because it's actually dark in here because I refuse to turn on the light. Electric bills, everybody. You'd see chaos. But if you told me what to describe my room as, I would say this area is my garbage area. That's where my comic books are. That's where my games and movies are. And it doesn't look like it's orderly, but it actually is. I know where everything in my room is. It just looks like a mess. Because to you, it would seem like chaos. But to me, it seems like order. Because in all things, it is objectiveness that defines what is real and what is recall. Movie reference. Okay? And to add another movie reference, you could argue who he is wise. A very dysfunctional clown once said, chaos is fair. Not really. All right? He was trying to push a certain person over the edge because he was a being of order.
Chaos is more fair than order, though.
I disagree.
No, I disagree.
If you flip a coin and you know that there's a heads or a tails, order dictates that that's fair. It's literally 50-50. Now, you can insert chaos into it by doing a hand trick to make it move the way you want. You can flip it a certain way to go super high to trick people out.
A coin flip is that's not a good example of yes, order versus chaos.
Anyway, the point is that much like they described in Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn, order and chaos are not inherently good or evil. It is what you do with that order or do with that chaos that makes you good or evil. You
I would like to point out in this life. Fire Emblem example as well that Yune was the chaos god and she was very much the good guy.
Except, but again, that's because in Yune specifically stated that it's because Ashera was tired of the rules that she set kept being broken. She made a deal with Yune to say that should she be waking up before her 1,000 years, they were to get together and decide what to do. She broke that rule. And if you remember the dialogue, Yune says, this is too early, you're doing it wrong. She broke the rule when turning people into stone. She was supposed to consult with Yune.
Yeah.
So, she was the bad guy in that instance. But it's also true that Yune, because she failed to control her powers, wiped out an entire half of a continent, including the wolf tribe of Hatari, because she didn't have control of her power. So in that case, she was the bad guy because her chaos got out of control. It's about how you define
the order
and chaos.
Then you're getting into intentions. But regardless of the fact, I think that Will and I can both agree that there is, in fact, one wrong answer. And that wrong answer is not picking a side.
Again, this is not Shin Megami Tensei, yo. I mean, while I would love if they have a dirt faction in this debate, like, I don't know, Judd faction, unfortunately, that's not the case in Split 2 right now. So, and also just with that, remember, with that Fire Emblem with Unit, remember of that author something called back in Fire Emblem Heroes, I am not Chaos nor Base, I believe that was a quote, I forgot during the trailer, but yeah, like, overall, like, yeah, the fact that this is not Shin Megami Tensei right now. You can't choose the middle path. Well, a lot of people prefer that, and that is technically canon in the lore of Shin Megami Tensei. Unfortunately, this is the world of Splatoon 2 right now. This is the world of Incompetence. You gotta choose either Chaos or Order. And
Actually, you're wrong, because and there's a very basic way of thinking about this.
Wait,
you're thinking...
Todd, when you went, you said you played a match.
I did.
So what did you pick?
I picked Order.
Oh, you suck. Okay,
well,
so
like
team
you
order.
Said, I had to choose, so I chose order. But I also noted when the t-shirts that came out, style design, I said that the chaos one was infinitely better in its design. I love chaos, but in this one, I just decided to have a little fun and choose order. And I actually liked the color of the ink for order just a little bit better.
Don't tell me. I know why you chose order.
It wasn't because of Mirena. Will.
It's just not acceptable.
I think that's also part of the reason for many other people.
And for the record, you two, to go back to what we were talking about, there is a third option. You guys are thinking so base that you're blocking your own judgment. You telling me that I have to choose between Mirena or Pearl, there is a third option. I just could have not played the game.
That's true. That is
And that would have
option.
Been the balance, because I would have said I don't want to choose between Order and Chaos. I choose the balance, and I wouldn't have played. Now, I don't want to do that. That's why I just chose a random side. In this case, it was Order. But I could have chosen, like Tyler has, by his own admission, he has not played certain Splatfests despite choosing a side. So, there you go. There is a third option. There is always a third option. There is always option C. So
I think we all know who won this debate.
Yes,
and
I did.
Our final settle it in Splat. Yep, good job, me. I never lost.
Oh, please.
I can't believe I went 2 years without losing a settle it in Splat. Like,
please.
I may have lost a Splatfest, but I've never lost a settle it in Splat debate.
Oh, please.
Even after that was in Malaysia, you're still harping over that you freaking lost Love 1. Please.
Well, yeah, that was because remember the fake news? They had to change the whole scoring system because it was a lie. They got caught red-handed in their lie. Thanks
you're,
to
you're
my
a lie,
investigation.
Tyler. You're
my
a lie.
Investigation dredged up the truth. And then they had to change the rules. And then they said, oh, well, whatever side you pick, we're going to have lose because, you know, that's punishment. But you know what? Small price to pay for some fidelity.
Jeez Louise.
Actually, hold on. Wait a minute. Which one did you choose? Unicorns or narwhals?
I choose unicorns.
Okay, then yeah, you did lose. Okay, I thought I couldn't remember. I know that, you know, a certain someone chose the
he
horned
chose the
wall. Yeah, he turns the narwhals. I couldn't remember. But yeah, so with that very enlightening and philosophical debate, we are going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler.
Oh shoot, I'm not ready.
Of course you're not.
I've been
because
ready
you're
like
an agent
a lot
of chaos.
Of weeks in a row.
If you were orderly, you would have had it prepared.
I mean, true, but I'm an agent of chaos. You've got to be Chaos Gang. Hold on, it's coming. It's loading.
Gang like in Groovy Gang.
In this case, I will stall for time by doing my Joker impersonation. Do I look like I have a plan? I'm like a dog chasing a car. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get it, but I have to get it.
Aha! Are you planning on buying a Switch Lite? Yes. For current Switch owners, 0% said yes. 10% said yes. I'm newly in the market, so not Switch owners. 80% said no because they already own a Switch. I would imagine that's because our audience owns a Switch. And 10% said no, and I don't have a Switch.
Interesting. Why'd they vote? Why'd they vote it off? They don't even have a Switch.
Hey, I'm glad that we are expanding.
Yeah, we are expanding. okay, so... Huh.
How about this? Was Will's Settle It in Splat argument the worst argument ever made public?
Jeez Louise. I keep to what I asked. Because, again, I'm just basing it on the convo of the Splatfest. I'm just basically keeping it real young.
Oh, stop. Anyway, let's have a little bit of... We were talking about Splatoon 3 earlier. Let's focus on that. When do you want the Splatoon 3 to come out? A, 3 years from now. B, 4 years from now. C, 5 years from now. C, first year of the next console.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not going to do a 2-year turnaround. They're not doing a 2-year
turnaround. It's going to come out next year.
Oh, please. Stop.
I mean, the last thing I just wanted to be is for it to be the next Kid Icarus, honestly. So hopefully it won't take that long.
F-Zero.
Oh, not a chance. Yeah, Splatoon is such a huge thing. And I'm sure, like, it's true that they said they haven't started development yet. I, of course, believe them. Maybe they have, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they were lying. But I think that that's a game that they could make kind of fast. And I don't think that they're going to just let Splatoon sit for that long. Like, they're not going to wait till the next console.
Well, it just depends. Remember, it was a different situation with the Wii U and the Switch because while the Splatoon was the one of the better selling games on the Wii U, you know, the Switch just felt like it was going to be better, and that's why they wanted to do what they did. And just about everyone noted that it really was just the same game, except, you know, obviously new characters, Salmon Run, slightly upgraded weapons and levels, and then there was something else. Oh yeah, better online play, but still, you know. It wasn't too radically different outside of, you know, Salmon Run, technically.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the 2-year turnaround was just, you know, better graphics, you know, slightly updated levels and the new story mode. But with Splatoon 3, they're probably going to try and push it even more, so it might take a little more time.
Maybe.
And again, I'm not going to, if the guys want, if they want a break after, you know, 2 years, no, 4 years of, you know, developing and DLC content, give them a freaking break. Okay.
Right.
And don't forget the Octo expansion. That was
right,
new as well.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
That was great. So, you know, I'm giving them a pass. If they want to take the next 2 years and work on another Nintendo game, by all means. Okay.
Sure. I
variety
guess.
Is the spice of life, which is both order and chaos.
I mean, the fact we don't need a Call of Duty esque game to come out annually, granted, yes.
Yeah. We don't want it to be that.
3 years next year since the launch. So.
Yeah. All right, so as we noted, this is the end of the podcast. Do let us know what you think about Luigi's Mansion coming out on Halloween. Are you going to get the Switch with a better battery? Were you one of the people who got Super Mario Maker 2 to make it the best-selling game in the U.S. during June? Are you getting Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3? How eager are you for Three Houses? And so on and so forth. And, of course, let us know what sides you were on, Team Order, Team Callus. Yes, because you could be both an emotional state and a wound on your foot.
Before you wrap it up, I just want to say to my brother of the order, remember.
Oh, this is a fraud.
World of Warcraft, that's not even a Nintendo game.
Boo.
Boo. For the Horde. No.
Yeah.
All right. So, oh my gosh, that just totally threw me off. But ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. So you have made it to the end of the level. Go Team Balance. Raise the flag.